I don't need to give into it now. I don't need to give into it right now. I may have to one day. But turn to the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. I was reading it, and I was looking at some of the other translations that on the web and on a website and everything. But there's a word in the very first verse that if you read it, you'll see where the God is speaking of one. One individual, one purpose right here. And in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Now, all the other translations they're going to have is heaven. Is H-E-A-V-E-N-S. They're going to say it's more than one heaven. What they're trying to do, they're trying to bring all of their suggestions and all their ideas in it. But God created the heaven. One heaven. And he created one earth. There's not two or three earths. There's not two or three or four or five, six heavens. And where they're getting it from is from a whole lot of these theologians and everything, and these seminaries and everything, that the reason they're coming up with heavens with the S on it, is that they say that you have the third heaven. That's where God is at. Then you have the second heaven. And that's where it's above the clouds. Then you have the first, which is a whole lot of theologians believe this, that to a whole lot of people, and I know we've even caught our own selves saying it, that for them, heaven, they're living in their own heaven now compared to what it's going to be like. But we don't need to say that. We don't need to say that, hey, if you don't get saved, this is going to be the only heaven that you know anything about. Because it's going to be heaven here on earth for you. But we don't need to teach that. We don't need to tell them that. We need to teach them that there's one heaven and one earth. You're either going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and go to heaven, and if you deny Him, you're going to hell. And you're living in it, and you're basically living in sin, you're living in any just living in hell right now on earth. Because they don't care. Now, I've never seen an individual that will come to church and where the preacher is preaching the word. And when they get under conviction, when you get under conviction, majority of time, they won't come back. Why? Because they're uncomfortable. Because something is touching them inwardly. Now, I know some individuals now that used to come and I'm not calling no names or nothing like that, but I've seen conviction upon their face. And you can see the conviction. But one sign that you can tell if they're a Christian or not. And it tells us that over in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, I believe it is. Yeah. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it speaks about it. It says in verse 3, it says, "For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God's dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth its peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hand which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubled you, and therefore many be defiled. The child of God, if you really want to see, if you really want to find out, and if you really want to know who's saved and who's not saved, this and the ones that's not in church, if you really want to find out, all you have to do is watch their life. And if they are saved, then they are God's children. And God's children wants to correct them. God's children, God wants to bring them under subjection to Him. But it says also in the verse that we just read, it says also, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We give man reverence over correcting us. If we go and correct the children, then they will look to us more than they will God. But it's chastising. You know, and I don't like to be chastised. I don't like to be chastened. I don't like to be God to get on me. But for God to keep me in line and to keep me down doing what He has saved me to do, and if I don't do it, chastising is coming. He's coming to me. Chastisement is coming. Now some people say, well, I don't know why he's always picking on me. So, you know, I'm having to do this and spend this much and all that and everything. I don't never have a dime to go out and eat or something like that. Why is God doing it to me? You know, why God's chastising me for that? Whole lot of things that God does, and God really don't chastise us for. And it's plus two, it's a whole lot of things that we blame, and we put the blame on the devil. And the devil is nowhere around us. But yet, we've got to put it on somebody. So, you know, let's submit it ourselves. We must take the blame, because we know better. As Christians, as believers, as knowing what God's Word says, we know better than to do some of the things that we do. We know better. It's not that the devil is trying to get us away from it. Yes, he's trying to. But the thing about it, if we leave the Word of God, it's not because of the devil. It's because of our disobedience to God. But chastisement, you don't see that much. Matter of fact, you don't even hear preached that much. Matter of fact, I haven't heard any other preacher that will preach on chastising. I had a friend of mine that I saw him at the grocery store and everything, and he come up to me and he asked me, he said, "Preacher, I want to ask you something." He says, "I got a dear friend, and I still call him my friend. I still call him my brother in Christ. I know he's saved. But just something happened at the church and he just got out." He was a deacon in the church. He just got out of church. Now he don't even go to church nowhere. And says he's got him a brand new home, got him a brand new truck, then bought him a bass boat, and he goes to the lake on Sunday and fishes. Don't seem like nothing is bothering him. Everything is coming his way. Nothing goes wrong. He's got money. I mean, it's not a time that you can't never go up to him where he probably ain't got maybe $200 or $300 in his pocket. He said, "But how do you go by, how do you look at that? And you say that, how God's blessing them?" I said, "Well, God's blessing them." I said, "But the thing about it with God, God is not chasing them." And I says, "Now, I'm going back," and I told my friend, I said, "Now, I'm going back to what you said at first. You said it was a deacon, you said it was saved, you said it was good Christian in church, and you would still recognize him as a brother in Christ." I said, "Now, if he's saved and he didn't drift that far away from God, and God's not chastising him, you might ought to question it." I said, "I'm going by what the Bible says. I mean, you know, it spoke of, you know, we give more honor to the flesh than we do to the Lord. But in verse 2 it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water." Everybody is saying this verse right here was a Big Bang theory, but it's not. No, it's not. It says, and the earth was without form. Without form, what does that mean? It did not have no living life there. It wasn't nothing but just the earth, the way he created it in the very first verse. that they seen. There was no water there. There was no trees. There was no any. There were nothing. No animals there. No nothing. But it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God created everything that he saw then. He created it. Now, he could have done what he done there in 6 days. He could have done it all in one day, if he had a mind to. He could have done it in 1 hour. He could have done it in a split second. Because, see, that's God. God can do them things because God's all powerful and God owns the universe. You take the world that we live in. You take the earth. I didn't like science when I was in school. I just about flunked out of it. But I have read some things about it and everything. But can you imagine man taking the globe, which is this earth, and just put it out there in space? Can you imagine that? What would happen? When you do, it's got to be complete perfection. It's got to, when you on that, what do you call that, the axis or axles or whatever. But when God placed this earth on its axis, if it went one, what did they say? 1,000th of a degree or millimeter, whatever, one way or the other, it would create chaos. It would just explode. But see, God put it there. And it hasn't changed one bit. They have tried their very best. Now they're talking about, you have some of these space idiots, I call them, I hear saying, well, now we got them, they're going to start building up on Mars. And they're going to start having hotels up there. They're going to start having this and that, where people can go up there and literally live and leave the United States and go to Mars and live. I don't believe it'll ever happen. It'll never happen. Because God did not intend it for it to be for that. God created the earth. God created the stars. God created Mars. He created everything. And he has a purpose behind each and everything that he created. Just like he had a purpose when he created Adam. When he created Adam, he had a purpose. And that purpose was, I believe, that God wanted to have some fellowship. Because there wasn't nobody there but God. And the angels in heaven, and then Lucifer, you know, I mean, you know, he was there, but, you know, he was trying to do everything he could to take control of everything. So God said, no, I'll just get rid of you anyhow. So then he said, well, now, one day you're gonna be down there, and you're going to be used as a footstool. That's over in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I believe it is. But that's the first mention of Jesus Christ. But, the thing about it all is that God had a reason. God has a purpose. God has a purpose in your life. God has a purpose in my life. You say, well, preacher, what's my purpose? What is my purpose to be? What does the Lord really want my life to be for Him? What kind of purpose can I have? What can I do? I'm just one individual. What's that song say? Little is much when God is in it. You take Madeline O'Hara. What's her name? Madeline O'Hara. You know, that back in the 60s and everything, in the 70s. And she got prayer out of school. She was one individual that wanted to take prayer out of school, but she done what she intended for to do, then she ended up having more people behind her. She even got Congress behind her. Got the Senate behind her. Even got the president behind her. And they passed it. And they took it out of schools. And look what has happened since then. You talk about a chaos, that's all it's been. Because people in general, they want to, I honestly believe that there are people that wants to pray and they want to know God. But they have been taught so much now in the schools that, I mean, I don't understand how. Well, it's just like Obama yesterday. And he says, unless Congress acts on it and passes it, he's going to take his executive pen against the NRA, the Second Amendment. I mean, he's rewriting laws that he has no purpose in doing it. And then you have up there in Congress, in the Senate, and up there, they've come up with words now that you better not say, you better not mention that word to individuals. Because if you do, and if they report it, you can be fined
$125,000.
Now, I know that all of you know this, probably this is Bruce Jenner. Used to be Olympic. Now he wants to be a woman and everything, a transvestite and all like that. Well, now they say, if I approach somebody, or if they come into church here, and if it just happened to be in my message, if I say that, then they can go back and report me to the law. And then they can sue me for $125,000. Well, like I've told people before, if you can get blood out of a turnip, come on, because that's all you're going to get blood from me. You know, it's always against the Christians. The Christians can't do this. The Christians can't do that. But the idiots, they can do anything they want to. We have got to take a stand. And I believe God, that's what God's word says. We must take a stand in what we believe in. And I believe in this book. I believe in my Savior. And I believe in my Father in heaven. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. And as long as I obey them, they can try if they want to. They can try to shut me up or do this or that. But I don't think God's going to allow it. I think God would put them down first. But that's where the test is going to come in at. Are we willing to take the stand for what we believe in? Or will we back up when they come in? They say, you can't do this and you can't do that. That I'm going to close with this thought, I promise. I know that you've heard of them, but the Bible publisher?
Zondervan.
Mm-hmm. You will not believe now and what some of the things that they are doing and they are saying about the Word of God. That they are saying about the King James Bible. They say that the King James Bible that they have printed for years and years, they said every bit of it, as a lie. Now I just saw that, and I heard it this week, and I saw it on the internet, which my wife says, well, you believe everything's on the internet? Well, depends on what you look at. Depends on what you want to see. But, you know, I mean, Lord knows, the people in the United States, they need an awakening. They do. They need an awakening. They need someone.
Get your cane. Hey, Don.
Huh?
I don't mean to be an ugly, but are you about to finish?
Yeah.
We got a problem at the house. We need to go check on.
Okay.
We still text.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, but, you know, I just don't understand some of the things that's going on and what has happened in the last 8 years. It's going to take somebody else. We'll probably go through two or three more presidents, unless the Lord tires before they ever get it straight. Because what Obama's done. And the Lord knows, I hope and pray. Now, I